We want you to turn with us today to the book of 1 Kings. Going to go back into the Old Testament and going to read a little bit about the story of a couple of kings that you have probably heard of, King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat. You ever heard of them guys? Why, sure you have. If you've been around the Bible very long, you've heard about them. My opinion of Ahab is he was the worst king that the northern kingdom of Israel had, period. He was mean, spiteful, and as bad as he was, his wife was worse. She was. If you read about Jezebel, she was worse. I'll give you a little bit of history leading up to this point where we're going to read here in 1 Kings chapter 22. Elijah the prophet is still around at this time, okay? And Elijah he's not causing Ahab too much trouble about right now, or Ahab's not causing him much troubles, maybe more way it is. But there was a period of time that a king from Syria, Ben-Hadad's his name, he comes down and really begins to make war against the northern kingdom of Israel around the city of Samaria, and causes Ahab quite a bit of trouble. His father before him, Ben-Hadad's father, had captured some city, and Ben-Hadad had also tried to take some more of the cities. And through a series of events, God had given victory to Ahab. Even though Ahab was bad, God still cared for his people. And, you know, I've lived in America long enough to know that we've had some bad leaders. Matter of fact, I still think we got some bad leaders, okay? But God can work through bad leaders, too, sometimes to bless the people. And God still cares about us, whether we got bad leaders or not. He cares about us. So he blessed Israel in that they drove Ben-Hadad and the Syrian army out of Israel. But after that victory, Ahab kind of backed off, and he didn't do a whole lot. But then he got to coveting a vineyard that was real close to his house. And it belonged to a man named Naboth. And he wanted that vineyard really bad. And so he went over to Naboth to kind of negotiate for it, and Naboth wouldn't sell his vineyard. He said, no, I'm not selling something that, you know, it's been in my family for generations. I'm not selling it. You know, you can give me a better piece of property and a lot of money. I don't care. I'm not selling it. So poor old Ahab went home, you know, like a little whipped puppy with his tail between his legs. And he went home whining and crying because, you know, here he is, the king, and Naboth won't sell him his vineyard. And so, you know, his lovely wife Jezebel inquires what's going on, why he's so down and out, and why he's weeping and he's so pouty. And he tells her, and she goes, don't worry about that, I'll take care of that. So she did. She just went and had Naboth killed. That's why she's worse than him, okay? But Ahab let her. He let her. I think he could have stopped her. He just didn't. And so Elijah comes on the scene again and lets him know that because he has allowed this thing to happen, that Ahab's going to die too, and he's going to die a violent death. Because Elijah tells him that the place where Naboth was killed and the dogs, don't get sick on me here, but this is in the Bible, the dogs came and licked up his blood. Elijah says to Ahab, they're going to come lick up your blood, which is a death sentence, okay? Now you got to understand, he does not like Elijah. Because Elijah is a man of God and Ahab is not. Well, that prediction has been made. And being a man of God, Elijah gave true prophecy. It was going to happen. So Ahab from then on is going to try to do everything he can to avoid that happening. So that's where we jump in the middle of the story, okay? And you're going to find out here in chapter 22, starting at verse 1. We're going to read quite a bit this morning. Now, we don't normally do that. Last week we had one verse, and this week we're going to put in a whole story, or at least a big part of his story. And so all that's happened, and Let's jump in here at verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now, I'm going to insert a little comment right here, okay? Jehoshaphat's a man of God. And he wants to know if it's okay with God if we go fight this battle. Okay, now that's a pretty good principle to live by. To ask God if it's okay. So he knows the reputation of Ahab, so he's asking here, you know, can we inquire of the Lord? I want to know if God's in this or if you're just wanting to go do this, okay? So let's go on here with verse 6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we may inquire of him? Now get the story here. Get the story, okay? Ahab's got his prophets come up, and they're all for it. Yeah, you go. And Jehoshaphat said, No, wait a minute. I'm not sure I believe these guys. Is there a prophet of the Lord that we can ask? Verse 8. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is one man, Micaiah, the son of Imel, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imel. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes, in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, made him horns of iron and said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Now you guys still with me in the story, right? Let's review just a minute here before we go on. Ahab wants to go fight at Ramoth Gilead and get the city back. He wants to know if Jehoshaphat will help. He said, I will. But if you ask God, well, I'll just ask right now, he says. He calls his prophets together there. Oh, yeah, it's all good. You go. God will take care of you. Jehoshaphat said, I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Is there anybody else? Ahab said, yeah, there's one guy, but I don't like him. Matter of fact, I hate him. He never tells me anything good. It's always bad stuff. And Jehoshaphat said, well, get him. I want to see what he's got to say. So they go get him. While he's coming, this guy that goes and gets him speaks in his ear and says, Now listen, Micaiah. Everybody else has spoken good things to the king. Why don't you be nice and do the same thing? Are you getting the picture? Does this sound like politics to you? Be nice and do the same thing. Okay. Look at verse 14. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, What the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto them, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? What did you just catch right there? That's the first time he's ever prophesied anything good to Ahab. Ahab saying, wait a minute, I think we got a problem here. I've told you, if you're going to tell me something, even if I don't like it, tell me the truth. Okay? Are you getting the story? Sometimes we get lost in the these and thous and all that stuff, okay? Verse 17. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. That's all we're going to stop. We're going to stop right there, okay? You guys got the story, don't you? We got it cleared out here? Micaiah has not prophesied good to the king. I think he said what the other prophets said with probably just a little sarcasm, don't you? Yeah, go on, it'll be fine. And the king says, wait a minute, I want the truth. And so what Micaiah has done is he has told him what's going to happen. He said, I saw in a vision the armies of Israel scattered as a shepherd, or a sheep having no shepherd. What does that mean? Something's going to happen to Ahab. Something's going to happen. And then he said, furthermore, I saw a vision of God talking to the people there in heaven. And he said, how are we going to convince Ahab to go to Ramoth-Gilead where he's going to die? Remember now, Elijah's already prophesied he's going to die. How are we going to convince him to go? And one said, well, I think we could try this. And another one said, well, I think we could try that. But one of them said, I think I can do it. I'll go lie to him. I'll go tell him everything's going to be just fine. You go right on up there and you fight the battle, and it'll all be just fine, and he'll believe that, and you can have him killed while he's up there. That's what the story's all about, okay? That's a tragic story if you ask me, right? Guess what? We fall in the same trap today. Now, I try to find inspiration on what to preach and what you need to hear at Edinburgh Church every week. And this past Monday, I was at work and I was thinking, you know, Lord, we gotta start pursuing this message that we're going to preach Sunday, and which direction do we need to go in? What do we need to say? And the strangest thought come to my mind, or at least I thought it was strange. Maybe you won't. I had not thought of this in years and years. I thought of a commercial on TV. It's a Memorex commercial. You guys remember Memorex commercials back in the late 70s and early 80s? And the question was in this commercial, is it live or is it Memorex? You remember the commercial? My favorite ones were the guy sitting in the chair, you know, and the butler comes out and gives him something to drink and says the same thing as usual, yeah, and he puts the tape in. It's a cassette tape. I was an 8-track guy, you know. Some of you were too. I could tell by the way you giggled and looked at me, okay? And I thought cassette will never make it, okay? But they had improved it, and the whole point of this commercial was that you couldn't tell the difference between live performance and the tape. How many of you bought that one? Some of you were like my kids during that period of time. They took the cassette thinking that it would sound just like what was being played on the radio, and they put it in their little recorder and recorded it off the radio, and it never sounded the same. But Member X's whole point was this, is it will sound just as good as the real thing. Now you might say, what's that got to do with what we've read today and what you're going to talk to us about today? Well, here's the thing. I don't care how good a recording device might be, it's never going to sound like the live performance. It's never going to be the real thing. Okay? And yet, with the infallibility of our hearing, we might think that's the real thing. So what I'm telling you this morning is there is God, and there's an imposter that sounds like God. There is the true Word of God, and there's the false Word of God that will sound like the Word of God. That's what Ahab and Jehoshaphat are dealing with right here. These prophets that are prophesying, yes, go on down and fight. Are they really giving the Word of God, or does it just sound good like the Word of God? And what about this Micaiah guy here? Is he telling us the truth, or is he just telling us what we want to hear? Well, obviously he wasn't telling Ahab what he wanted to hear, but was it truth or was it not? You know, I find that we as people, we don't change a whole lot. We like to hear good things. We don't like to hear bad. As a matter of fact, and this is not a scripture that I even thought of having Brother Greg putting on the screen today, but Paul, in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said this. He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they will be turned away from the truth to a fable. Now, Paul said that was going to come. Help me out here. Is that not what we're seeing take place here in 2 Kings 22? Didn't want to hear the truth. Wanted to hear a favorable prophecy to them so that he would feel good about what he wants to do. Our world's that way today. Did you know that? We don't want to hear what's bad. We want to hear what's good. I am not against you feeling better about yourself when you leave church than you felt before you came. That's fine. But I realize sometimes in order for that to happen, you might need to pray. You might need to confess some things. You might need to get your heart right with God. I'm not here as a motivational speaker today, okay? I'm sure some of you think I'm a motivational speaker sometimes, and perhaps I am. But I'm trying to warn you today that what Ahab was doing right here with his false prophets is not so different than what a lot of us do today. In our church world today. This is scary. Okay, stay with me just for a little while. I promise not to try to preach over an hour and a half or 2 hours. Let's look very quickly here. I've given Brother Greg three scriptures that I want us to quickly look at. And we want to hear, first of all, what Jesus had to say about all of this. And you remember now, Micaiah said that he saw this vision where this spirit says, I'll go and I will put a lying spirit in these people, and they'll tell Ahab what he wants to hear, and he'll be convinced he can go to Ramoth-Gilead and he can fight the battle and all will be well. But you got to remember, it's a lying spirit. Are there lying spirits in the church world today? Yes. Are they? Yes. Listen, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to sound rude or crude, but I want to be like Micah. I want to preach what God has to say, whether you like it or not. It's not my job to tickle your ears and make you feel good about yourself. It's my job to give you the truth. Okay? What did Jesus have to say? Look in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." That's Jesus' warning. Be careful of the false prophets. They're going to look good. They're going to sound good. They're going to have the appearance of being the real thing. But are they the real thing, or are they Memorex? Are they of God? Or are they of Satan? He said, beware of those false prophets, because they'll come to you, but they'll be like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Now let's go over to 1 John and see what John had to say. This is John the Beloved, one of Jesus' disciples. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. John says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Now that was almost 2,000 years ago with John. Be careful, he said. Don't believe everything you hear coming out of somebody who wears the title of preacher or prophet. Don't believe all of it, okay? You need to put it to the test. We're not going to go over this. I just want to show you these, okay? I could preach a whole message on that, but you need to put it to the test, okay? And let me tell you, as we get ready to go over here to 2 Corinthians, part of the test is verify it with the Word of God. Verify it with the Word of God. If it's not written in the Word of God, if it can't be backed up in context, in full context of what the writer is writing about, it's probably not a good doctrine. And as a matter of fact, I guess I've said this more in the last 4 or 5 years than I've ever said it. If you find a doctrine that you want to follow in the New Testament and you firmly believe in it and you want to follow it, if there's not an Old Testament example of it, you got a bad doctrine. Okay? You got a bad doctrine. Because as Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, that Old Testament is our schoolmaster to bring us to the new. Now let's look at what Paul has to say here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read 13, 14, and 15. See what Paul had to say. He said, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Did you guys catch that? Jesus said there would be, And he said this later, even over in Matthew chapter 24, "There would arise false Christs and false prophets that would deceive many." Now, Jesus said it was going to happen. John said we really need to be careful what we do, because we need to verify that the message that we're hearing is really of God, genuinely from God, or not. And Paul said, check him out real close, because if Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, sounding like he's got the right way and the right thing that we need to do. If he can do that, it shouldn't surprise us that those who are following him are doing the very same thing. Now, this issue is still alive and well today in the church world. Now, does it affect us today? Yes, it does. I'm not here to get specific about this today. This may follow, okay? I've got other thoughts on this. So this may be the beginning of a series. I don't know. It's a scary thought when I don't even know myself, okay? Is it an issue in our church world today? Do we have preachers on our airwaves today that want to tell us how good we are? Are there some there today that want to tell you that no matter what kind of life that you're living, that God loves you and that you're going to go to heaven, doesn't matter what you do? Do we have people like that? Sure we do. And listen, some of them are in it for themselves. I've determined here in the last few months that most of them are on there to promote their latest book, because they're making money. Anytime we see somebody like that, we need to not support them. Okay? Are you listening to me? I don't want to get too specific. It'd take me all day if I get specific. We'll be here 2 hours, I guarantee you. I'm trying to stay general today, okay? But listen to me, okay? I love history, especially the history of the church. And I've gone back in the last couple of months and reviewed some of the books that I've read on the early church history. And you may not believe this, but boy, it's true. And it disturbs me when I realize how true it is. Some doctrines that are being advocated in the church world today and are accepted as truth, as gospel truth, were rejected by the disciples and the early church fathers and declared heresy. But they're accepted in our world today. Do you know why they're accepted today and they were rejected back then? Because it's things we want to hear. It's things that we want to believe. Probably 20, 25 years ago, I was talking to a young man that I know that lives in Kentucky, and he had just started preaching, and so I began to ask him about different things that he believed in. He's not Separate Baptist, okay? He's with another church. And we got off on a certain doctrine that we disagreed on. Now, I didn't want to make him mad, hurt his feelings. I wanted to keep the door of opportunity open so we could debate later on. It's still open. We still discuss some things, okay? But he brought up that certain doctrine, and he said, "What do you think about it?" I said, "I disagree with it." Boy, he couldn't believe it. They said, "Why?" I said, "Because it's not true." He said, "Well, I think it is." I said, "Well, that's nice that you think it is, but what if it's not true?" He said, "I can't accept it any other way. I can't accept it any other way." Are you listening to me today? I can't accept that doctrine any other way than the way I believe it. I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I want to believe it that way." I said, "But what if it isn't true?" "I still want to believe it that way." Did we not read the scripture where it said that God would allow us to believe a lie and be damned? Listen. Maybe you guys can explain this one to me, because it's way above my head, because I only go to the doctor about every 20 years or so. You guys know that, okay? And if you can explain this, would you explain it to me after church today, because I don't get it. People are sick. They don't feel well. So they go to the doctor to find out what's wrong with them. Anybody here ever done that? You don't have to raise your hand. I can tell by looking at you, all of you have done that. I'm like, I'll either get over it or die, so I just don't bother to go, okay? But we go to the doctor to find out what's wrong with us, right? Because we're not feeling well. And the doctor, he checks people out, and you know, more often now than ever before, I think, he says, "Well, I'm not quite sure, so we're going to run you through some tests," right? You guys have all been there. You're nodding your head. You've played that game. Going to take you through some tests. So you show up at the hospital or a clinic or something for whatever, you know, and we're gonna run you through these tests to see if we can find out what's wrong with you. So what do? We come to church and we say, pray for me. I've got some tests run. Pray they come out all right. Is that what we do? So what do? We pray that all those tests will come out all right. All the while, you still feel terrible. You feel awful, but you want them tests to turn out all right. Why? Because that'll be bad news, and I don't want to hear bad news. So you go through all the tests that the doctor can give you and that your insurance company will pay for, and the doctor gives you a date that you come back in and see him, and you go, and the doctor says, I can't find anything wrong with you. And you know what? You're joyful. You're excited. He didn't find anything wrong. And you come to church, and a lot of times I'm the first guy you tell me, my tests all came back good. You know what I think when I hear that? Well, I'm going to give away something. Do you still feel bad? Listen, I don't know about you, but if I felt bad, I'm wanting bad news from the doctor. I want him to find what's wrong with me. But we don't do that. Can you explain that one to me? Still feel bad, but he said there wasn't nothing wrong with me. Friend, there's got to be something wrong or you wouldn't feel bad. Is that not holding true in the spiritual realm of things? We feel convicted about our sins. We feel bad. We know that we're living a life that's wrong. And rather than to hear the truth that we're lost and we're dying without hope and we're going to go to a place called hell and exist there throughout eternity, we'd rather come and hear a preacher tell us how good we are. Now that God loves us, and listen, friend, God does love us. He does love us. But if I'm not feeling good, I will go to the doctor, and I want him to tell me what's wrong with me. I don't want him to sugarcoat it and go through all those tests and say, well, we can't find anything wrong, and me go away still feeling bad. I want the truth. Ahab didn't want the truth. He didn't like it. As a matter of fact, he said, I hate that man because he never tells me anything good. But you know what? Micah, I was telling him what he needed to hear. And what we need to hear from the pulpits in America today is the truth. And not make us just feel good about ourselves, but make us realize our sinfulness. Make us realize that we have a need to be saved. It might sound good to us, and we might want to believe that all these things are true, but listen, if they're not true, they're not good for us. Sometimes you've gone to the doctor, and the doctor has told you what you didn't want to hear. You need surgery. All of a sudden, you're down in the dumps. Man, I got to go. I got to get under the knife. They're going to put me out, you know. I got to go all this time without eating, got to go through all those procedures, you know what? But listen, let me ask you this. Is it not worth the surgery after you come out and you're better? Is it not worth it when they go in? Listen, I don't know anything about all that stuff. I had surgery when I was 5 years old. I was born with a hernia and didn't find out until I picked up my little sister and they said, oh, you got a problem. I barely remember that. But some of you have had surgery. Some of you had gallbladder problems and you've had it removed. Why? Because that thing was inflamed and causing you problems. When it's hurting and you know that it's a thing that could not only just cause you discomfort but could take your life, how many of you have gone through that surgery and say, listen, I don't really like surgery, but take that thing out. Get rid of it. It's poisoning my system. And you go through the surgery and it's less invasive today than it's ever been, you know. They just poke 3 holes in you, blow you up full of air and take some things in there and pull it out. It's all good. You go home, you know. Am I right? And in a few days, after a little soreness is gone, you go, boy, I feel good. Now, you didn't like the surgery, right? You didn't really like the diagnosis, but it was true, and it was necessary. So you went through it so that you could remove that one thing that could have taken your life. Am I making sense to you today? Too many of us are living like Ahab. I'll just go find somebody that'll tickle my ears and make me feel good about what I want to do. And that Micah I got over there, I don't even like him. Matter of fact, I hate him because he's going to come up here and tell me something I don't want to hear. I know he's a man of God, but I don't want to hear it. There are people believing doctrines today because they want it to be true, not because it is true, but because they want it to be true because it sounds good to them. And the Bible calls them damnable heresies that are destroying people's lives because they sound good to us and they make us feel good about ourselves. I don't want you going away feeling bad about yourself, but let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ died for your sins, there was a reason for it. If the Holy Spirit convicts us of the life that we're living, there's a reason for it. It's to tell us we need to turn around, that we need something changed in our lives. And I'm not going to be one who will come here and try to tickle yours and make you feel better about yourself. If we need to do spiritual surgery, let's get her done. If God needs to take the scalpel of the truth of the Word of God and pierce your heart and take out the old stony heart and replace it with a new heart, let's get it done. Many of the things taught in churches today and preached about in churches today are nothing more than to make people feel good about themselves. We need to get back to the truth, don't we? That we've all sinned. Paul said in the book of Romans, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Jesus declared when somebody came up to him and called him a good master, he said, there's not one of you good. Nobody's good but one. That's God. Listen, get this through your head today. Let this soak into that gray matter between your ears. You're not good. Jesus said, none of us are good. None of us are worthy to stand before God and hear him say, well done. It takes something greater than you and I to change our lives. And yes, yes, churches that are tickling people's ears and making them feel good about themselves and selling them the books, they're overflowing, they're bursting at the seams, they're building bigger buildings, and all this stuff is going on. And listen, that's all kind, if that's what you want to listen to. I'd love to see us have to build a bigger church here at Edinburgh, but I'm not going to do it by making you feel good about yourself. I want to do it by giving you the truth. And you may go away like Ahab, but not like me. But you'll have to deal with that. I won't. Listen, we need to get back to Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not my job to get up here and tell you how to keep your checkbook. It's not my job to get up here and tell you that if you'll put money in the offering plate, that God's going to multiply what you've given. It's not my job to get up here and tell you that if you'll become a Christian, that you won't be sick, that God will take care of you. None of that's true. None of that's true. Are you with me? We've not changed from Ahab, have we? Today, many people in the world are very much the same. We want to hear what we want to hear. And please don't tell me the truth because I won't like it. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. If you're one willing to listen to the truth and accept the truth, you'll never be free from the life of sin that you're living. You'll never have peace of mind. You'll never have rest in your soul. And Jesus Christ did not come for you to be restless and to lay awake at night, sleepless, worrying about the life that you're living. He came to forgive you of your sins and to give you eternal life. We need to get back to that, don't we? We need to get back to the truth that we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, but that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, that he's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for each and every one of us. It's time we got down to the truth, isn't it? People are dying lost every day. Yeah, they're dying lost in churches every day because the preacher's afraid to tell them the truth. You know, I told somebody a while back, you know, people are always asking weird questions, you know. How much they paying you for Edinburgh? Ain't none of your business. They treat you good up there? Yeah, they treat me good. What if you preach something to hurt their feelings, they get mad at you? That's fine. It's fine. One fellow asked me a couple of weeks ago, said, what if they'd run you off? I said, that's fine. I'll go somewhere else. It's fine. I don't want to have to stand in front of God and hear God look at me and say, you had a lying spirit and you were unwilling to tell those people the truth. I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done what I've told you to do. Listen, it's time that we grew up and we took the truth and we apply it to our lives, and that we quit trying to believe fairy tales that tickle our ears and make us feel good about ourselves that aren't true. It's time we took a good, close look at ourselves and realized what we are, and realized who we are. And if we're far away from God and we're not part of His family, one of His children, we need to grow up enough to say, I understand that, and we need to do something to change it. You can believe a lie if you want to, but a lie will never get you into heaven. We need the truth, don't we? And the truth is that we've all been sinners, but Christ died for us to give us eternal life, to give us hope. I'm going to tell you this before we close. Brother Jimmy, come on, get us a song. I'm going to close out the rest of the story about Ahab. You know what Ahab did? He believed the lying spirits. He chose not to believe Micaiah. I don't like him. He prophesies bad against me. I'm not going to pay any attention to him. He took Jehoshaphat and they got their armies together and they went up to Ramoth Gilead to battle. And Ahab even tried to disguise himself and not look like a king, so that somehow, because he knew if he went up there and looked like a king, that Ben-Hadad and his army, they'd already told him, you know, well, I can just tell you, if you want to read the rest of the book, you can, but Ben-Hadad had told him, said, yeah, when you go to fight, he said, I'm not worried about Jehoshaphat, don't bother him. The one I want is Ahab. When you see him, you bring him to me. Don't kill him, I want you to bring him to me, okay? So Ahab says, well, I'll just disguise myself. He said, Jehoshaphat, you go ahead and dress up like the king. You lead the army. Pumping him up, you know. You look like you somebody. Get up in front. And he did. And Ahab was dressed like a normal soldier back here. And the army of Syria came up and they chased after Jehoshaphat. And when they caught up with him, they said, you're not the guy we want. And they could not find Ahab anywhere. And the Bible said that an archer pulled back his bow and just did a shot by chance, just let it sail. And it went right into the chink of Ahab's armor and pierced his body. The prophecy of Micaiah came true. But he chose not to believe it. Listen, the words of God are true. This is not a recording. The words of God are true. Believe the words of God before you do anybody else. I'll tell you this. If I ever preach something you don't understand, ask me. If I can't explain it, I need to apologize. If it's not from God, I don't need to say it. If we can't find it in this book, I don't need to talk about it. It's got to be verified, right? Believe the word of the Lord. Believe the word of the Lord. If you're lost today, if your heart is torn apart by the life that you're living, you need to find rest. And it won't be through kind words and patting you on the back that you'll get rest. That'll do for a little while. But if you'll come to Jesus Christ today, He can forgive you of your sins. And then you'll have peace and rest. So if your heart's troubled today because you've been believing a lie and you want rest for your soul, we have a wonderful place to meet with you and pray for you today. And we invite you to come as we all stand and we sing a hymn of invitation, Brother Jimmy.